in our work isn't always easy or clear. Jesus is the Lord of the church, the cornerstone of the church. I believe in Jesus as my Savior, as my Lord, as God's Son, who shows us who God is, shows us God's love, and invites us to grow into that love, to respond to that love. Again, in Ephesians, and it's a book I've a letter I've come to love very much, because it's a letter written to a church that was in living in a very challenging times, and some wonderful instructions and counsel to them on how to live in those times. And a reminder at the outset here that this is about Jesus, because through the church, God is showing the immeasurable riches of his grace manifest in Christ Jesus. For by grace we have been saved. By grace we have been saved. This is not our own doing. This is a gift of God. That's why the church is so important to me, and why I've given my life to working in and through the church as God has called and equipped and provided for me. I want to read a little further from the book of Ephesians, then chapter 2. If you have a Bible or want to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2, Romans, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, I memorized the books of the Bible once many, many years ago and still recite them from time to time when I want to find a reference. Ephesians chapter 2, reading from verse 13, in which Paul continues to talk about the difference that Jesus makes, what Jesus reveals of God's love to us. And we don't have time to read the longer chapter, the full chapter here, but starting in verse 13, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ, for he is our peace. In his flesh he has made both groups into one, both groups being the Jews and the Gentiles, the two groups that were identified, God's people and everybody else, that's us. He has made the two, one, broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances, that he might create in himself one new humanity in place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility between us. So he came and proclaimed peace to you who are far off and peace to those who were near. For through him, both of us have access in one spirit to the Father. So then you are no longer strangers or aliens, but you are citizens. Citizens with the saints and also members of the household of God. Notice the language being used here for the body of Christ, the church, citizens, the household of God, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the cornerstone. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together spiritually, or in the Spirit, into a dwelling place for God. Wow. So much to unpack in that section. Let me identify just a few things. First of all, this particular portion begins, but now. There's a before and an after here. There's a then and a now. But now. We all have lots of befores and afters in our lives. Lots of experiences and incidents in which we don't know how the now will unfold, what it means, what hope there is, what change, what chance there is. But God comes in and makes the difference. In some instances, it's God's grace alone that provides for an after. An after. Israel had that story in its exodus from Egypt. Many of us, most of us, have a but now story. A story of that kind of transforming grace, saving grace in our lives. One of mine is from 33 years ago, when our second daughter was just barely 3 years old. And she was diagnosed with leukemia. She was very, very sick. And of course, it threw our world into tumult. She was three, we had a one-year-old and a five-year-old. And the next morning, Leonora had gone to the hospital to be with Sherry. The next morning, I didn't know what to do or think or say. So I went to the devotional that I was using during that time. And folks, these disciplines, these practices are God's way of speaking. Don't neglect them, especially when things are tough. I was been reading Oswald Chambers, My Utmost for His Highest, and the next day, the reading for that day began with these words: "It takes almighty grace to take the next step. It takes almighty grace to take the next step." Friends, those are the words I needed that day. I didn't know what the next step would be, whether we'd be able to take it. Almighty grace was there. That promise was there. God's word to me. And I clung to that promise. We clung to that promise. And that almighty grace sustained us. Sherry was very, very ill. She was in the hospital for 6 weeks initially. And another 5 years of, 3 years of treatment, another 5 years till we could see whether that treatment actually held. And folks, she's had challenges since, but she's 37 years old. She's a mother of two adopted children. And what a blessing she is and they are in our lives. Almighty grace. Almighty grace. Never doubt it. Trust it, folks. God, it comes to speak to us. That's the but now moment in our lives when we face the barrier, the Red Sea, the obstacle. Seems immovable. And then God comes. But now. But God. And here's the second point here. God in Christ. In Christ. That's one of the most common phrases that the Apostle Paul uses in the letters. In Christ. That's the difference. The before and after. In Christ. You were once without Christ. We read in verse 12, remember that at that time without Christ, you were aliens, you were strangers to the commonwealth, to the covenant, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ, you have been brought near. You have been brought near in Christ. And as I've plumbed some of the depths of that phrase, that word, in Christ. I've gone off into John chapter 12. We won't read any of the passage now, except to remind you that it's the place where Jesus is teaching his disciples about being the true vine. Remember the vine and the branches? I am the true vine, Jesus says. And this is shortly before his crucifixion. I am the true vine. You are the branches. And what's our role? If Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. What's our role? To abide. Abide. And if you count it, there are 10 or 12 times that word is used there. Abide. Abide in me. Abide in my love. Now, I've studied a little Greek, and I like to go back to the Greek from time to time to understand words. And I've chuckled when I did a search on this one, the word abide. In Greek, is meno. Meno. Who knew? Gave me a whole new appreciation for being Mennonite. Christians are called to abide. To be Mennonites. That is, those who abide, folks. That's the important thing, not the cultural thing and the food. That's good stuff. But to abide in Christ. That's the key. That's the key. Because abiding in Christ, abiding in his love, is what produces fruit. Then you will bear much fruit. It ain't going to happen just by itself or by our own efforts, folks. We know that. Abide in me. Abide in my love. And when that flows through us, that's when we bear fruit. Abide. Stay connected. Abide in Christ, for he is our peace. He is our peace. Peace is a much used, much misunderstood word, of course, in our day. I have to admit that I grew up in the 60s and 70s when you know, peace was flashed this way, and we still do it sometimes. But this peace is peace with God. And out of that peace with God, that relationship with God in Christ, comes peace with others. Trying to be peacemakers without that relationship with God in Christ can be such an exhausting, tireless, and often fruitless effort. He is our peace. We aren't the peace. Rules and laws and governments aren't the peace. Jesus is the peace. He is our peace. And therefore, in him, in that peace, there is a new humanity, creating a new humanity, reconciling us all to God. Reconciling us to God because we were once enemies of God. Romans 5 tells us God loved us even while we were enemies. Reconciling us to God, but that's not where it ends. Breaking down then the dividing walls through the cross. Breaking down the dividing walls through his death on the cross and the death to self, which we are then called to offer in Christ, who is our peace. So we are no longer strangers or aliens, but citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. Now, we could unpack those words too, what they meant at the time and what they might mean for us now. Point being, we are no longer strangers to God or to each other, but in Christ, we are reconciled with God and with each other and members of the household of God. And then continuing further in verse 21, in him, this whole structure, now he's using the image of a building now for the church, because the place where God dwelt and was revealed was the temple. So that was a building in the context which many of these folks would have understood. In him, the whole structure is joined together and grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together spiritually to a dwelling place for God. Folks, this group, this gathering, people gathered here, are being built together as a dwelling place for God. And when we gather here, God is here. The Lord is in his holy temple. This is the temple. And each of us are a temple, part of the presence of God, the household of God, the body of Christ, the various images that we use for the church, God's people. Because it is through the church that the wisdom and the grace of God are being made known. And that depends then on us all sharing our gift, as we heard before. We are all called to minister in that way. In fact, in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul writes that we are ambassadors. I don't think that's a new job description. We seldom think about an ambassador, except when there's some kind of, you know, official formal visit or relationship between countries. But we are ambassadors for Christ, Paul writes. In other words, we represent Jesus. Not ourselves, but Jesus. An ambassador doesn't speak for him or herself. An ambassador speaks for the person or the state they represent. We are ambassadors for Christ because this ministry of reconciliation, Paul writes there, has been entrusted to us. this ministry of reconciliation. The mission, statement for Mennonite Church Eastern Canada is extending the peace of Jesus Christ. And so we're trying to own and understand that and live that out, because we are called to be ambassadors to proclaim the good news of the reconciling love of Christ. And so we want to extend the peace of Jesus Christ to all around us. And we are all ministers of that good news as we live in Christ, as we abide in Christ. And then Paul continues in Ephesians 4, verse 7, that each of us was given grace. To go back again to the introduction that Chris made of gifts, of grace. And it's the same Greek word, grace and gifts. And so they're used interchangeably sometimes. These are grace gifts given by God. For each of us has been given this grace and given the gifts to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's the calling. That's the calling and role to which Steve is committing himself now, so that the grace of God might flow through him and equip the saints for their ministry, to use their gifts for building up the body. And so we call leaders, although all are called and given gifts, we call leaders among us to equip, to nurture, to support, to challenge, to encourage in that work, in that ministry, that calling that each of us have to equip the saints and build up the body. That's the role that to which you've called Steve and Catherine and Rachel and your lay leaders, that all of us, in fact, share now as God gives gifts. And so today, you are covenanting. We are covenanting. And I say that because we also, as Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, are covenanting with you and with Steve in this calling, in this role, in this ministry here as pastoral leader among you. And I'm so pleased to be here to represent Mennonite Church Eastern Canada because of the relationship that we have, Steve and I, and because in my role, it's one of the funnest things to do, is to be part of these kinds of celebrations and services where the ministry and work of the church is celebrated and leaders are called and encouraged and supported. And so I want to challenge and encourage you to continue to uphold Steve in your prayers, to continue to join together as ambassadors, as ministers of reconciliation here in this community and through the larger church, throughout the world. That's the calling we have together as the body of Christ, as the church which is God's great plan of demonstrating his grace, his love in the world, the love manifest in Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Shall we pray? God, thank you that you spoke a living word through Jesus. For his example, we give thanks, for his life, for his death, the resurrection and ascension of Jesus, and that he is Lord of us and among us now through the Spirit. And so touch our hearts and lives, O God. Touch us and call us. Show us where you want us to minister and to work and to serve. Make something of the dust out of which you've created each of us, O God, that would glorify you. We join together to proclaim the good news of your love. And we thank you for your love for the church, for each of us, and for your work in and through us. In Jesus Christ, amen. We want to symbolize and recognize this covenant now in a litany and in a signing of a covenant.
Just so you're aware, there will be a role for you guys to play as well. It's called The Gathering Church, and I hope you'll be able to see it up on the screen when the time comes. And feel free to speak that in unison.
All right, thank you. Today we recognize the special gifts of ministry and leadership which Catherine has brought to this congregation and which Steve now brings as well. As we install Steve as pastoral leader to serve alongside Catherine, we want to focus on his particular gifts and role as he commits himself to you and you commit yourselves to him.
I believe that God has called me for leadership here at the Gathering Church. I respond to your words of invitation with a mixture of eagerness and apprehension. I sense deeply my own need for your prayers, your counsel, and your support. I offer you my support, counsel, and prayers as we work together as Christ's body.
Steve, I look forward to sharing with you as a brother in Christ and a colleague in ministry. I commit myself to working at being an effective team and to constantly being open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Fellow members at the Gathering Church, at this point in my journey, in our journey together, I commit myself to God and to you. May we together respond to Christ's call to share God's love in our community and in our world. I welcome you, Steve, as a brother in Christ and a colleague in the task of leading this wonderful congregation. I will do what I can to make our team leadership effective and sensitive to the leading of the Spirit.
Steve, you have committed yourself to leadership in the Gathering Church. In this leadership role, our call to you is to endeavor to be faithful to God in Christ as revealed in Scriptures.
To remain open to the leading of the Spirit in this community of faith.
To be sensitive to the needs of people and to serve in the spirit of love.
May God grant you a fruitful ministry in our congregation.
God, being my helper, I accept the call to pastoral ministry here at the Gathering Church. And I ask again for your counsel, your prayers, and your support.
Steve, on the basis of this mutual agreement, this covenant between you and the Gathering Church, and I as representative of Mennonite Church Eastern Canada, and according to the word of God, now recognize you as a minister of Christ in this congregation. God bless you.
I'm in the rhythm of saying, and now kiss the bride, and then we'll sign the register. But at this point, we will sign the covenant, and if the worship team would come up and we'll sing a song. It is very wedding-like today. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. please stand and sing with us?